Hey everybody, thank you for tuning back into Easy Tarot Lessons. I am Dusty White, your host. Today we have a 1 hour lesson on how to double the accuracy and details of the readings that you find yourself in. You're going to have to actually practice these techniques, but they work well. I've got tons and tons of testimonials, and I don't want to waste a lot of your time, so we're going to get right into this. Please take notes and remember that we do have a $5 a week lesson special right now. If you go over to easytarotlessons.com/members, rather than clicking on the green sign up button like you would normally find, there's a big blog area just right at the bottom of the menu at the top of the page. You'll see it. It says sign up for the course here. If you click that, you're in for $5 a week. This special is only active because I kind of screwed it up last week or the week before when I was trying to set it all up. And oh my God, I hate WordPress. So there you go. Have a good time with this. Please take notes. I'm always here for you. But if you're serious about mastering the tarot, I've got a $3,000 course that you can jump in on for $5 a week for a total of $220 when you all finish it. And you're only paying $22 a month. So hopefully you like it. In the meantime, you want something free, here it is. Have a great day.
I generally feel compelled to open up cards almost all of the time, majority of the time. But where my issue lies is in the shuffling, in the process of opening up a card. What am mm-hmm. I giving the cards that I am shuffling? Am I asking a whole new question? Am I just... You know, what is the further interpretation of this card? Do I need to be more specific and go into detail in regards to the original question?
I think you're 90% there. I think you're definitely on the right track. The thing about opening up cards is it's a valuable skill, and it's a worthwhile technique, but I don't know if this applies to you, but I want to put it out there because I catch too many people doing it. They open up cards too quickly or too often. Let's say we're using a Celtic cross spread, and I'll tell you, get this out of the way, we never open up cards on like a 1, 2, or 3 card blob spread. You know, we don't pull a card on something and go, I don't understand that. That doesn't mean anything. Let me open up this card, because in all likelihood, we're opening up a completely random card, which means we get a totally inaccurate answer. And then under the belief that the tarot never lies, put that in quotes, we, you know, force that card open and we just, you know, open up a can of worms, really. So when we open up cards, certainly we want to go through our entire spread first and mark the cards that are giving us trouble, and kind of, you know, I'll get back to that one later, because we want to make sure that the entire spread as a whole holds together and it's got structure. And often, if we have to skip a card, and I tell my students to kind of, you know, turn the card into a little bit of a cant, a slight diagonal, just as a placeholder visually, say, you know, you're glancing over the spread, you're like, why is this card at an angle? It kind of, you know, gets at your OCD. Hopefully enough to where you can go, oh, I have to come back and, you know, I didn't properly address that card. So before we open up a card, what I like to do is make sure we've gone through the spread, make sure that spread answers the question that we asked, and also that the spread does accurately apply to our querent or client or ourselves or whatever. And then after that, 1 second, please. Thank you. After that, what I would like, sorry, I distracted myself. This is bad. Brain the size of a squirrel. Okay, so after we've gone through all that stuff, blah, 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 it's time to open up a card. Right before we open up a card, quite often just the process of going through the entire spread and then going back to that card, we will have much more information that helps us understand what we were missing. It's kind of like watching right. A movie a second time. Like, oh, that's right. Darth Vader's the bad guy. I didn't get that. I don't know how. You know, red lightsaber.
That is obviously a common mistake that I am making, is being a little too hasty with opening them up.
Now, the problem with that is not that it's a matter of bad form. It's just that you end up getting bad or inaccurate information. And then, you know, why even bother doing this? You know, because if you're getting bad or inaccurate information, you're just destroying your reputation, destroying your confidence, and eviscerating any, you know, belief or that anybody has in you, and therefore credibility. So as a cure-all to this, and it actually is a nice cure-all, I say go through everything, make sure it, you know, it's actually you know, works. Do you have the Black Book, Advanced Tarot Secrets?
The Advanced Secrets. Yes, I do.
Okay. So in that book, you'll find techniques on verifying the spread. So it's not something that I'm just, you know, saying, hey, here's some stuff that, you know. I mean, it literally, it's all there in black and white, because color printing book is pretty crazy expensive. But so I'm just going to assume you've done that. Now, getting to the point of verifying, I mean, opening up a card. Boy, I'm just on fire today. So it's been a rough morning. So I'll say that like it's an excuse. Opening up a card, the first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that we have an understanding of what the card position means in relation to the question that we're asking as it applies to our client's circumstance or whatever. Okay. Then from there, we can cement that in our mind. What the hell does this card have to do with any of that? If the card is completely random, then we want to pull a clarification card. This is a last-ditch resort of... We can't fix a card that we can't fix a random card that somehow got in there. You know, if we're doing our shuffling and pre-spread work and everything thoroughly and completely and skillfully, then this doesn't happen. On the other hand, just taking the possibility that, you know, we didn't shuffle enough and somehow everything got together except this one random card. We can't fix a random card. Now, on the other hand, often, much more often what happens is we're just drawing a blank. You know, we just, it's again, going back to the movie analogy, it's just missing the entire point of this particular scene or character. It's like, I don't get it. The rest of it, I get. This part, I just don't get. So if we're missing something, that clarification card is kind of like a slap in the back of the head. It's like, oh, hey. You know? And a clarification card, its whole purpose is to accent or reinforce the original meaning. So that's the difference between clarification card and opening up a card, which I really haven't taught before in the free public lesson. So that's good to get that out. So if we're going... let me back this up. Done all our work, blah, blah, blah. The spread is intact. It looks good. It's got solid structure. Our client is nodding their head like, yes. Oh, man, that's amazing. But what about this thing? Or we're like, you know, they're happy. We're like, no, I got to give you more information. Here's this card right here, and it's not making any information. It's making me angry.
Okay. I had an instance just like that yesterday. You know, it was chaos and destruction all over the reading, and the Three of Cups was...
Yay.
Smack dab in the middle of it. Was made no sense.
Schadenfreude. Somebody's like, we celebrate. Well, it's Nero. We celebrate. Well, Rome burns. So no, but that's a good point. You're like, what the hell, man? Why can't you be chaotic? Is it too late to turn this card upside down?
Right.
Maybe draw some mustaches on it. So. In that case, if you have a complete, you know, spaz, mental block, I would say first off, go with the clarification card, as in, what the hell does this card mean? And really, that's not exactly a bad question. Shuffle, 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 because, you know, once the cards are on the table, the deck I believe Eileen Connolly, there's a name from the past, called it the Daff Pack. Basically, it's, I don't know where she got that from, but it's stuck in my head. It's the rest of the cards that aren't, well, it's a deck of cards. It's the ones that aren't in the spread. So you got this like big pile of cards in your hand. I'm going to call it Daff Pack just for the sake of, because now I've got a name for it. So it's not like those cards are in order because that wasn't part of the original contract. He said, "Hey, I'm shuffling. I'm going to cast a spread. That's it." The universe or gods, and I'd like to say the gods or the fairies, were like, "Yeah, fine. Here, we will put the right 10 cards top of the spread, top of the deck. We'll let you know when they're there. Blam, you shuffle them. The rest of the cards, they're all random." So it's not like you can just keep drawing cards like, oh, this is another mistake people make. They think that they shuffle 2 or 3 times and all the cards are in a proper order. They've never taken a class on statistics. So we actually have to take these random cards and there's an answer in there, because there's 68 cards. There's definitely an answer in there. Plus, when you figure that a picture's worth 1,000 words, and then we've got reversals, now we've got 68,000 answers in there. One of those motherfuckers has got to work. So shuffle, 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 shuffle. We're focusing. We're being insistent and clear, but relaxed all at the same time. Oi, the hell does this card mean? I don't get it. I get the, and you can even do that. You can have a little conversation in your head. I get the rest of this. This makes sense. And I'm going over, looking, looking, looking. And that actually helps to kind of look at the different cards and like have this. I'm going to say imaginary conversation, but it's not really imaginary. It's just easier to put it that way. Imaginary conversation in your head where you're going, okay, wait, wait, oi, this works here. This doesn't work. What's going on with this? I don't understand it. Explain to me, very simple language. What does this card mean? Now that you've stated your petition, you focus on the core of that. You don't have to keep repeating that in your head, but you take the juiciest parts and you just keep focusing on that. You shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. You're like, okay, where is it? Where is it? I just need that one card. And bling, sometimes it'll fly out. Sometimes you'll just go, oh, this is the right card. You flip it over. Then cross your fingers. If you've done that right, the next card should spark something in your head to make you go, oh, okay, I get it. And it won't be a random meaning. It can be a random meaning, otherwise it's not a meaning at all. It's just a random card. It has to be something that jumps out at you and cements everything else. That's when you know you get it right, is that the card that comes out clarifies it specifically, makes that card fit in seamlessly to the rest of the spread. Does that make sense so far?
It does.
Okay. Before we go into anything else, do you have any questions on that process or any of my gobbledygook?
No, it's quite clear.
Okay, great. So now that's the hardest part is we got all this baseline foundation stuff laid down. So the next part is easy because we don't have to go over all that. We've done all our pre-spread work, blah, 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 blah. Now, in this particular next case where we would open up a card, this process I like to save for we've done the reading, and we're feeling pretty good about this, but we want some more information. We don't want to start tearing down the spread to cast a new spread, or we don't want to grab a second deck and start opening up new questions, new spreads, and whatnot. Opening up a card is we're right in the middle of a reading. We may have completed that reading as far as our obligation. I've read the 10 cards, or again, however many cards in your spread, as long as it's not like three. I've read our 3 cards, go away. But we've done our job, but we want more information because we're not satisfied. Or our client says, oh, that's great. What about this? And the what about this question has to, for this technique, it has to apply to what's on the table. If they're asking about something else, then we do follow-up questions. That's cool. That's why it's helpful. But it's like, okay, so you say I'm going to Cancun on the 17th or in spring or whatever. Am I going to take anybody with me? I don't know. Am I going to have a good time? Things where if you can If their question or your question relates specifically to a card or an area of the spread that you can nail down to one or two cards, you can then seek more information in that specific area. We can do data mining or what the hell are you doing, cat? Well, whatever, as long as you're not on the keyboard. We can start digging around for information in a specific area using the cards, of course, as placeholders and opening that up. So we've already done the same thing. The technique for opening up a card is we're much more focused on a specific area, and that card as it applies to the balance of the spread. It's kind of like looking at a mosaic, which I really am liking that visual more and more. Oh, yep, here he is. He's creeping up to lie on the keyboard. You are a sneaky little bastard cat, aren't you? I say as I pet him. This is a Virgo. He's a really smart cat, but he's also like, I'm black, so I'm a stealth ninja. Thank you for lying on my keyboard. It was his favorite spot. All right, fine. So when we're opening up a card, going back to this mosaic thing, we're not looking at the whole picture. We're like literally getting our face right up, and we're examining different stones. We're like, is that an agate? I mean, why the hell is that an agate? Why don't you just use a piece of tile? Or can I chip that out? Is that worth any money? And we're like really obsessing on a very small part. So in that sense, we've narrowed our focus. We've blocked everything out, and technically, we're doing a new reading, but because our existing spread is already there, we're not going to be picking up any cards. We can use our tunnel vision to do a mini spread on the card using that as a significator. So explaining it that way, this goes back to like a one, two, or three card spread in the case of opening up a card, generally two or three cards. We're using that card in an existing spread as a significator, and we're casting a mini spread on top of that. Hopefully, looking at it this way will take all the mystery out of it and help you understand the process, because everything else stays the same. You still ask the right, you still focus, make sure you like the question you're asking. You still use the same techniques of shuffling and waiting for the ding. Does that make sense? I don't think my communication skills are up to snuff today, especially if my cat, who's now fully laying on my keyboard.
I'm taking notes.
Oh, good.
Writing at the speed of lightning
I think all of this will help out. So let me encapsulate this, at least so far. Opening up a card? No, I'm sorry. Clarifying a card is best used when we have a pernicious, when I read pernicious, if we have a stubborn card that's just not playing. It's not a team player. It's not helping, and we really don't get what it means. We're going to read through. We're going to read around it, kind of like a pothole in the road. We're going to kind of ignore it, read around it, make sure everything else works, and we're going to come back to it. Because with that extra information, plus it's not just the extra information, but the longer we do a reading, now this is within, boundaries of common sense, and we don't want to say like, 8 hours in, I'll be more clear. But the difference between doing a reading 30 minutes versus like a 5 minute reading, 15, 20 minutes in, you've got a much stronger bond with your client. You are really feeling the flow. Also, you've kind of transitioned yourself from your everyday normal, hey, around self to you're in the zone. You're in your meditative state. It's like doing anything. It's like sports or accounting. I mean, once you're in the flow, you're like, okay, I'm just doing it, doing it, doing it. So reading is the same thing. We're not warmed up. We're actually in the game. We've already warmed ourselves up. Now we're just in the game, and we don't want to be yanked out of it. We're like, hey, this is good right here, right here. So Your ability to understand a confusing card, all things being equal, your ability to understand that card is probably 2 to 3 times greater 15, 20 minutes in than it is, if it's your first card, second card, third card, or if you're speeding through and it's your fifth card. So this is why just coming back a little later works wonders. And when it doesn't, fine. We grab our deck, tunnel vision, focus in on a card. We kind of keep a periphery of like, yeah, all this other stuff makes sense. It's kind of like a Greek style amphitheater. All the other cards are up in the audience. Where they're all there. We know they're there. We're like, we take them into our awareness, but we're looking in and focusing specifically on the actors on stage. We're like, okay, all this stuff makes sense. What's going on here? Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. Tell me what's going on. What does this stupid card mean? Bam! Okay. Card comes out. We breathe, relax, get it. If that doesn't work, well then, yeah, and again, this rarely happens, but I do want to address it because by not addressing it, I'd be avoiding the question. When it happens and that card doesn't make sense, walk away from it or take that card position intellectually. Leave everything as it is, but like intellectually pick up that card position, set it down. In this case, I'm looking to the left for whatever reason, an empty spot on the desk, table, whatever, beach, and pretend that everything is still there, and that you are that. Oops, I forgot to draw a card for this position. With the remaining deck, question firmly in hand, repeat to yourself what the question is that you are asking as it applies to their situation, not just, their question. What question are you asking? And then really tighten down with that card position. So you mention the question, clarity. You mention the card position. Okay, I'm asking how this particular thing, blah, 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 what's she afraid of, what's she wondering of. And you're just drawing one card as a fill-in for that card. Rarely, rarely do this. But this technique will work to, like literally like patching a pothole. They got to pull out Caltrans. Well, I'm just California. They pull out whoever, the big road construction crew that the state has, and get all these trucks to fill this one little pothole. It's a whole bunch of effort, but hey, when you fill the pothole, it's all done. Yay, steamroll it. That's done. So that's the emergency surgery. All right, the rest of it is easy. You're going through a spread, you've done well. But there's some parts where you just want more information, or these could be follow-up questions where your client is asking about things that you can relate back to individual parts of the spread. What I like about the Good Celtic Cross spread, or a Good Celtic Cross spread, is that it's an overview spread. I mean, it'll tell you about the past, the present, the future. It'll tell you what's going on in different corners of the world. So-and-so is saying this, and this is what you're expecting, but this is really what's going to happen. And this is why you're doing it in the first place. The Celtic Cross is such a powerful spread, but because it's so commonplace, people are like, ah, it's mundane. I don't want to invent a new spread. And that's fine. But this is a good workhorse spread, and it'll cover a lot of bases. And it's not a specialty spread, and it's not a time spread or yes or no spread. It's a spread where you have to gather the information, give it to your client, and let them decide with this new information, shall they do a yes or no? So we have this overall spread. That's why this is such a good spread to use for clarification and opening up cards, is when your client does ask those follow-up questions, unless they change the subject. Okay, that's fine. I want to talk about this. If they want to talk about something else, well, a brand new spread, or you just leave the spread out there and gauge how many cards you have left. Can I answer a few more questions, or should I grab a new deck or shuffle to pull them up? But if they're asking questions related to the original spread, then this is a perfect time to do clarification cards using the existing card in the spread is a significator, and using, you know, the rest of the cards in your deck and going, okay, and literally as basic or elementary as it may sound, I literally want you to say, okay, I'm going to draw two or three cards. Literally use those words. I'm going to draw two or three cards. Hello, you know, Earth to hello, fairy friends. Wiki, wiki. I'm going to be shuffling. See, I'm shuffling. I'm going to be asking. You're going to help get those cards in the right order. That will go bling and make my intuition go, oh, yes, here's a whole bunch of information. It's just flowing out of me like a fountain. And now I'm spent. Okay, I'm done. What other question do you have? So that's the process. You literally do mini readings. And the reason why I like these is because your mini readings are done on top of the mound that you've already built. We have a nice little mound of information and connection, and the spread is out there. When we're going in cold, but no connection, we're at our worst. Once we have gone through a large spread, verify that we're doing things right, talk to our client, they said yes, we're like, oh, here's some other stuff. Now, we could do mini readings all day long. We could sit there with that same client and just go through deck after deck doing a no spread reading technique. Shuffle, 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 flip card, shuffle, listening, talking, flipping cards as we go along. So, in a sense, I wanted to reframe, borrow that from Tony Robbins. I wanted I wanted to put this in a new light, how you approach doing your post-spread cards, your clarification cards and opening cards, so it's not such a bugaboo. So it's like, oh, well, this is stuff I'm already doing anyway. Does that help? Does that make sense?
That does. I just have one question about using the filler card as an absolute last resort, obviously. Are you removing that card from the spread and then filling its place, or are you leaving it there and also using that as a significator?
That's a good question. And I guess I'd go on moment to moment. This is something like literally one out of a thousand spreads. And I mean a thousand. It is something you will probably never do in your life. But again, emergency surgery is something we'll probably never do in our lives, but until we do it, right?
Right.
But it's funny. I'm so glad that you picked up on that. Because, you know, otherwise it would have gone right away. I mean, gone away unnoticed. So let's say my personal recommendation is always leave cards on the table as they are until you need them, or again, what is it? The exception proves the rule. So until you have an absolute exception, leave them there. So in that sense, I like leaving the spread down because it acts like an open window between you and your client. When you tear your spread down, it's kind of like saying, okay, I'm done. Goodbye.
Right.
It really creates a sense of emptiness. Like, okay, we're done here. You don't have access to me in my psychic ways. And they feel them more than you do. And we don't want that because we want, you know, not until we're done, not until we're like, go away. I've answered all your questions. Goodbye. As long as we're answering questions, we want to keep that window as open as possible because we want the clarity and the precision and the accuracy, because nothing can replace those three things. So I like to leave everything as it is. And then I, again, psychologically, I'll take an image, mental image of that card position, which pretty much means that card will, the card that's there will act like a shadow. It'll be there whether that card is right or wrong. My brain will be like, there's a shadow, okay, and it's kind of like, because I'm trying to lift that that whole entire card position out and like, create a vacuum. It's like, yeah. But that card is there holding physically, and then over here ethereally, I'm seeing that stupid card. I'm like, okay, no, I want that card. But I allow that because it adds the connection. So yes, I will generally on a physical level, I will generally leave the cards there. If it comes down to, I've used, let's say, and it's a random number, But if I've used, let's say, for example, 30, maybe 35 cards out of the spread, out of the deck, and I have to do something like this, I'm seriously going to think of just grabbing my second favorite deck and, you know, just using that to answer any follow-up questions or do that clarification thing. And the reason why I say my second favorite deck is I always want to read with my best deck so that I get the most information. But I want to have my second favorite deck stashed nearby or within reach or just right next to me. Well, you don't. What is that? You don't need to know about that. You know? I'll just have that right there. So if I come into a situation where I'm like, oh crap, I got to open this up, but I'm feeling like the rest of the deck is getting a little thin, a little light, and I'm not trusting that I'm going to have enough cards to give an accurate answer. I don't want to have to stop what I'm doing, go forage around for a deck, come back, because that process takes you so far out of the zone. And maybe I'm extra sensitive to this because I'm an author, but I'll put it to you from this point. When you're writing, you're like, right. And I suppose this happens to anybody. It's just this being what I do for a living, it happens to me a lot more. To me, almost nothing in the world is more frustrating than I'm in the middle of the zone, just having a good time, type, and something happens. The cat or somebody walks in. It's like, hey, would you like a cup of coffee or anything?
And yeah, I relate entirely.
My brain is just like, totally. Now I'm over here looking at this, and then I look back at my writing, and it's like, ha, 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 all that stuff you're going to write, it's gone forever. Fuck you and die. You might as well just burn your manuscript. So in that sense, it's even more worse. Look at me, my fancy words. It's even worse when you're actually reading for someone, because this is information just flowing through you. It's we don't know. Again, even if we know the person, we don't know what the hell's going on in their life. We don't know what's going on in their heads. That's the whole point of intuition, is we open our mouth and just stuff flows through. We're like, wow, this is great. Blah, 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 blah. And we're kind of like bystanders watching this wave of words. It's not a little alliteration for the day. Flowing through us, and our job is not to jump in there and muck things up. Whereas, when we're writing, at least we go, I kind of know where I'm going with this. So, yes, tell me about it. You understand what I'm saying. You've been through that, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So,
there's a whole bunch of extra information to ask for, but hopefully it'll help round out the things so that whenever you're in this area, you're totally covered. It's not just like, oh. All right, so...
But there is to interject just real quick.
Please,
there's a lot of stigma about the way you treat your decks. You need to keep them wrapped in black silk. The whole superstition and the stigma that follows.
Cleanse them by moonlight. You know what? These are people that don't read 10, 15, 20 times a day, every day.
Yeah, and personally, I am a practicing witch, and I don't feel that superstition applies.
When
you're grabbing your second deck, you're mingling the two decks?
Not mingling. What I'm doing is I'm setting the half-used deck down. It's like... Oh, you know what it is? It's like... no, it's not like refilling a cup of coffee. What would it be? Oh, it's like putting down your fork, grabbing a spoon. I'm not going to interrupt stuffing my big... fat face.
You're going,
nom, 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 nom. It's like, oh, God damn it. This fork isn't working in the soup. Give me a big shovel. Oh, nom, nom, nom. So I'm not interrupting the process and the flow. I'm just changing the utensil. Even if I'm laying down cards from the new spread on top of the other spread, because as far as I'm concerned, the moment I grab that, and this is a great question. I love good questions. The moment I grab that second deck and, set the, okay, I'm sending you to the showers. The rest of the deck, I'm just putting it up here. In my mind, I've laid down an invisible sheet of glass. And I've got this idea because I've had a glass-topped table before. Not a glass table, but like a table. We've all seen them. Might be like a wood table or something, and there's a
Right.
pattern on it, and then somebody put a piece of glass on it, and it was like, oh, let's go see, see through the glass and whatever. So literally, I mean, that's all I've done is I've like set a sheet of glass on top of the spread. That spread is done. I can see the cards. Technically, I can touch the cards because there's no actual glass. But I mean, you could just go, bling, there's a piece of glass. So you could point to those cards and say, oh, see, see, see how this new card matches up with that card and everything else. So in that sense, they're intermingling. But no, I'm not mixing the decks. And the cards that are down have done their job. Any new cards are additional information. But I can, go and pick up cards. I can like pick up the Ace of Swords and say, do you see this? Do you see this? And then I go over here and say, see? And I'll make the cards fight each other and say, this is like what's going on and Humperdinck and whatnot. So yes, they intermingle in the spread, but no, they never cross swords. They never actually get shuffled together. That's just a personal thing. I mean, I suppose you could, in theory, if you had big, large enough hands or small enough decks, you could, in theory, have two decks that you blend together. I mean, I've never heard of it happening, but having said it, I'm sure somebody had to have thought of this at some point in the past and said, probably a Gemini, saying, oh, I'm going to do this. I mean, because why not? We got to try new things to see what happens, and if they suck, we just don't tell anybody that we ever did it. Or we do, we go, oh my God, I tried this crazy thing. How'd it turn out? Oh, it was horrible, but it was so much fun.
Next summer will be the release of the commingled deck.
Yes, oh, absolutely. I can see US Games comes out. $59. You have the was it the Patrick Bellinzona deck? Oh, the Deviant Moon deck and the Universal Weight mixed together, pre-mixed just for you. Talking about two incompatible decks. So if this Knight of Cups comes out versus that Knight of Cups, it means this much other stuff. Sure, why not? Why not have like a deck of 1,000 cards? But now we're getting into having apps do the work, and the moment you bring in technology, you remove intuition. So maybe that'll be the future. 100 years from now, they go, that was a dumb idea. We do that all the time. So let's call this wrapped up, unless you have any questions, and move on to the next topic.
Am clear as day.
Okay, you mentioned something about court cards before we started recording. I'm always happy to, I say that so sarcastically. I've got like seven or eight lessons on court cards, but because it is such a problem, I will field a question or two and tell you if I've already answered it, which means, just go right there.
I think you already have. I scanned through the downloads that you had sent me, the ones that I had missed, and I'm pretty sure it's in there.
Okay, good.
It's really just, they pop up and I'm person or message or both. It always, my intuition comes in right away, but it's dismissed so quickly by my technical brain.
Oh, that yappy mind. You've heard the fool and the yappy dog analogy that I love, right? Oh, that was all from a Santa Cruz experience. It was like, oh my gosh, like 21 years ago. Oh, that girl was so pretty. But see, that was the point. I was being so pure and so nice, and her friend walked in and went, you're touching my, I don't know, maybe it was her girlfriend. It's like, just on the knee. But it was one of those weird moments where, again, if you guys, if anybody's hearing this, they haven't heard the story, it's going to sound really perverted. But it was one of those just amazing moments where I was totally channeling and I was like, oh, wow, this is the best thing in the world. And then it started to go sour because I was like, what, wait, I'm channeling. What's going on? And I literally tried to turn my head around. I know that voice is coming from like the back of my head. And so now I'm speaking and I'm channeling, which so two conversations. So I must have looked really weird to the girl I was reading for. Because all this great information was coming out, and I was like, hey, that's nice, girly. Use it out. I'm gonna figure out what the hell is going on here. I didn't call her girly, but I do that now because I'm just being sarcastic. So, and then her friend walks in and is like, what? So it was, like one of those life's most embarrassing moments. Did you just happen to strike that pose and you open the door? So, that's the whole fool yappy dog analogy in a nutshell without all the fun parts, which have been gone over so many times. But nonetheless, all of this comes back to that damned analytical, logical mind. It has a place in readings, but that place is almost always after we've gone through the first pass of the spread. Because our first pass is this card, this card, this card, and we want to be as intuitive as possible. We want not to let our bias or our logical side come in and say, oh no, that can't be true. Let me clean that up for you. You're just, mouthing words.
Right.
Because it's not natural for us to open our mouths and just stuff comes out and is like ambrosia or honey. It's like, wow, everything I say is perfect. No, it just doesn't work. Life doesn't work that way. So when we do channel, it's a scary, freaky thing. And what we're doing with, if we're doing our tarot right, what we're actually doing is we are channeling on a very light sense, which is why the tarot is such a great intuitive tool. So that ties up a big bow of a whole bunch of stuff I've been teaching for a long time. So in that sense, yeah. So it's random, it's scary and whatnot, and our yappy dog mind wants to come in and go, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Hey, is that a voice behind me? And it really screws up our reading and our intuition. So, but I don't want to shut logic out or shove it out of the way. So what I
Just keep it at the back of the line.
yeah, well, the thing is that it has to take place once we've gone through our first pass. Now we're looking at patterns and hidden spreads. Now what we're doing is we need to gather the information without bias and then analyze the hell out of it. It's kind of like we don't want our CIA analysts going out there and monkeying around with James Bond or whoever. I don't have another spy name. Austin Powers. We don't want the CIA analysts or KGB if you're on that side of the fence. We don't want them going out there and screwing up the spy's work. There's the spy is supposed to gather a whole bunch of intel and then feed it back to the CIA analysts, and they're like, okay, blah, 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 and their little think tank, Rand Corporation stuff. That's what we're doing inside our brain is while we are going through our, we're all this stuff, all the pre-spread stuff work, all the shuffling, all the questioning, and even going through the first pass. All of that is intuitive within a lattice framework of logic. Yes, there's a structure, but it's a lattice. It's like a doily. It's very delicate. It's supposed to be minimal and stay the fuck out of the way. Now, once we get past that, we're into passes 2, 3, and 4. Oh, then logic takes over because then we have to shape this glob of information into specific, accurate, precise, actionable intelligence that we deliver to our client. And they're scribbling down notes like, oh my God, oh, and so and so is going to say this. And then you're going to say this, or you would be advised to say this because then this will happen. This is what they would want to hear. They don't want to hear, like, well, you're going on a trip, or you were a good person in a past life. How the hell does that help my your cat? Your cat was sent to you by, oh, okay. Even if that's true, the hell does that do for me? How can I profit from that knowledge to create a better life experience? So this is why I'm so adamant about that is I don't want the skeptics to be able to look at us have any traction when they, I mean, they can do whatever they want, but I don't want them to have any traction when they say, ah, you're just taking people's money. Yes, there's scammers and liars and thieves. In every industry, they can go suck it, they can go somewhere else.
Of course.
But for us who are actually out here trying and doing it, I want us to be gods. I want us to be, because literally, if we can give information that is incredibly valuable, if we can help people, and that's kind of what we do, then absolutely, you know, I want us to be 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I want us to I want us to command the type of salaries and respect that are reserved for celebrities and usually politicians. Because
as we should.
We're the only ones dealing out this information from the ether. That means, yes, we need to work our butts off to train ourselves to become, you know, to become good at what we do. But damn it, if we're, you know, if we do this stuff and we're good at it, then like any profession, it's like a celebrity brain surgeon. It's like, oh, we flew this guy in from, I don't know, wherever part of the country. We took him off of safari to fly him in from into Geneva because this guy is such a genius. That's what I want. I want you to give such amazing readings that the word gets out, even if you're, you know, trying to hide away in the woods. Like, oh my God. You got to go deep into the woods to see Charlie. She's a witch and she lives in a gingerbread cottage. A gingerbread tent.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah. And all that takes is honest, persistent, proper practice. You know, just you're 90% of the way there. Like I said, you've got good questions. You have the practice. You got the right attitude. So just a little bit of shaping, a little bit of work, and you know, you are doing the. Let me not put that in an assumptive way. Have you gotten to the point where you're doing the four pass reading technique?
I have not.
You really want to incorporate that as soon as you can.
Overly critical of myself as of late.
Well, this is the beauty of the four pass reading technique and of the stuff in the black book. It gives you a set of tools and skills within yourself. That allow you to verify the spread before you even open your mouth. Well, that shuts up the doubt monster right away. Because, you know, here's physical, logical, factual proof. Haha, cards are right. I am right. Therefore, I'm pretty good at what I do. So shut the hell up. And then it takes you from there on how to get 3 to 5 times more information out of those same cards. This is the thing that drives me crazy. Every spread you cast right now, there's 3 to 5 times more information that you are just leaving on the table. It's absolutely free. Doesn't cost any money. There's no magical voodoo that you need to do. You just need to be able to understand how to open your eyes and a few techniques to go, you know, this is, you know, again, like blending and comparing and contrasting, whatever. That's all practice for this moment. So you sit down and you go, oh my God. And that's why I break it down into passes 1, 2, 3, and 4, because it's so much information that if we try to do it all at once, like, it's too much. So you sit down, your first pass through is just like you've always done. That's the easy part, right? So you did that there. You can still have doubt. That's fine. Although the spread verification will make most of that go away. Your second pass through and your third pass through will validate so much more because you'll be looking at patterns and hidden spreads. And again, they're right there. This will almost always remove the necessity of opening up cards. And I'll make clarification cards a thing of the past. You know, again, there'll be rarity, the exception proves the rule, that kind of stuff. But
we'll say reduces it greatly.
So you don't have to buy anything. You've already got the book. If you need help, of course, I have a course. As a matter of fact, I want to mention that just in case you forgot. Not so much in case you forgot. I apologize. That's a bad way to put it. Let me put it this way. In case I wasn't clear, because I really wasn't, that much I know. I've extended the $5 special because when I did it the first week, I totally boned up the technology and the sign up button fiasco and hassle. So if anybody wants to get half price on the course, I mean literally it's $3,000 course, but if you want to get it for like $5 a week, that is still easy. You just go to easytarotlessons.com/members and it's right there. It says, you don't click on the green sign up button that says sign up. You click on that big link that says sign up for the course here. Actually, that's the actual words there. And it'll take you to the secret page that's half price. So if you need that, that's there. Otherwise, you've got that book. It's already bought and paid for. It's right there in front of you. Trust me when I say it will bring you to life. Like a year from now you'll be embarrassed that we had this conversation. Which the only thing it will do is it will show you how incredibly far you've traveled.
Well, I look forward to that embarrassment.
Oh, absolutely. And I look forward to you getting back in touch with me. Let's say a couple weeks down the road. Let me know. I'd say a couple weeks down the road of you actually doing this, let me know how it's working out for you.
All righty.
All right. I mean, just hit me up on Skype, type a chat or give me a call or something and just say, hey, here's how it's going. Let me, because I want to make sure that's sinking in. Thank you, Charlie. I hope you have an excellent day.
Thank you, Dusty.
Okay, bye.
Bye.